Thank you, Chair. Let me start by extending my welcome to the delegation. And I'm happy that the head of the delegation in his opening remarks called for a free, frank and a positive dialogue. And I'm hopeful that your government will give due consideration to all the discussions we'll have to ensure that Guatemalan children will have a life that's filled with hope and aspiration. I'm going to deal with clusters related to civil and political rights and violence against children. And in the second round, I'll deal with the children's rights and the environment. I'm happy that the head of delegation statement covered most of the areas that I'm going to deal with. And I will try and dwell a little more in detail in terms of the issues and challenges which I would like to put for discussion. Now, on birth registration, especially related to universal and timely birth registration, I understand that you have a national registry of persons. I just want to ask whether this registry provides a comprehensive strategy that also covers rural areas where children are born under the care of traditional birth attendants. Whatever information on free access to birth registration, and do you still levy fines for late registration? We got the information that fines were charged for late registration, and whether your new government continues to do that. I also understand from the reports that the government is making efforts to eliminate under-registration by use of mobile units without fines as an ad hoc measure, but is considered extremely useful to ensure that as many registrations as possible can be done. What methods are being done to sustain this and to upscale this initiative? In relation to access to appropriate information, can you inform us whether legislation on access to information and the digital environment, including the Decree 11-2022, Decree 19-2022 on bullying at school, and the Draft Act for the Protection of Children and Adolescents from Cybercrime, number 6023, adequately protect children from harmful content and material, as well as online risks, and provide for mechanisms to prosecute violations? What type of awareness programs are conducted to promote or to strengthen the digital literacy and skills of children, teachers, and families, including awareness of protection mechanisms such as online child protection system? On abuse, neglect, and sexual exploitation and abuse, please provide information on services and initiatives protecting children from harmful information and products online, including against negative portrayal and discrimination of children. Please also update status of activities in relation to awareness raising to combat the stigmatization of child victims of sexual exploitation and abuse, including incest. What is the status of the Act Against Sexual Violence, Exploitation and Trafficking in Persons, which of course was touched by the head of the delegation? This was supposedly promulgated by Decree number 092009, amended with addition of criminal law provisions for the protection of sexual freedom and integrity. It would be good to hear from you what is the status of this law. What measures are adopted to increase awareness about the age of sexual consent established at 14 years in the domestic legislation and ensure that adolescents who engage in consensual sexual acts with each other are not criminalized? The comprehensive support model for children and adolescents, I understand, is a gender and culture sensitive system for providing access to justice in a specialized, victim-centered and age-appropriate manner. Can you provide further insights into the current status of this service? Has this made a difference in redress for harm caused to child and adolescent victims of human rights violations. In relation to children in public care centers, situation seems to be very challenging and disturbing, particularly affecting girls and children with disabilities, and my colleagues also touched on this. Can you provide us an update on the current situation? Now, in relation to children and girls who died or who were injured in that tragic fire at Hugor Segoro, you can imagine that this tragedy has cross-cutting implications and impact across all clusters. My concerns are basically to find out now what is the current situation. I know that the head of delegation touched on this. What about independent, impartial investigations, remedies, and redress for child victims? Can you further enlighten us on measures taken to improve the public care centers by adopting comprehensive strategy to end all abuse of children in institutional care settings, which includes reparation programs for all children in institutions, including measures for restitution, rehabilitation, and compensation? Can you inform us about the existence of functioning complaints procedures or mechanisms for children in care and detention centers, as well as in the general population, and existing mechanisms, if any, to provide or receive appropriate remedies? Now, in relation to corporal punishment, I believe from your statement, as well as from what my other colleagues raised, violence continues unabated, and the COVID period was particularly terrible from all the reports that we have. From the reports I reviewed, I understand that draft law number 5184 on the use of corporal punishment and other cruel forms of punishment as a correctional or disciplinary measure for children and adolescents has not even gone through a reading, leave alone adoption. I may be mistaken from the time I've read to the current status of the dialogue. So I'll be grateful if you can provide information on the status of this law. What programs, if any, are being implemented that promote positive, non-violent, and participatory forms of child rearing and discipline? One area of concern,